Hi, this is Debbie Q, and you're currently listening to Marissa on True Crime Bones. I am Debbie Q with The Right Shoe. My podcast is about all things strange and unusual, especially in reference to a death. If you're enjoying what you're listening to now, hop on over. I'm in the same podcasting platforms as Marissa. Enjoy this feature presentation and welcome to all things strange and unusual. From Marissa True Crime Bones to Debbie Q with The Right Shoe, you're in the right place and in good hands.
Well, hello there, and welcome. Well, okay, I'm not gonna do much of a, introduction. I mean, Debbie Q covered it for me. And let's be honest, she did a better job than I did. Could. So thank you for that. I would also like to thank her for this, and the intro you guys just said at the beginning of the episode. Also, definitely recommend checking out her podcast, The Right Shoe, as well as her Instagram page where she covers true crime stories at shopaholicdeb44, and as well as her website, which has amazing stories as well, which is www.therightshoepodcast.com. I will be linking everything in the episode description. So with that said, one more thing. If you would like to support this podcast while getting some sweet perks out of the deal, like a poem intro on my podcast, exactly like the one you just heard, then please check out the True Crime Bones Patreon. Links will be available in the description. Thank you so much to all of you and the listeners, as well as Debbie Q. Thank you for the support. So, with that being said, let's get into it. So, today's episode is going to be a little bit different, as this episode actually marks the first episode in the new Cully and Monique Taken Hostages series. Yes, I'm back with another series. Season 2, if you will. Being that the first season was the Stella Hostel Murder series. This series, though, is going to be something different, as we will not be focusing on a trial, or even a murder for that matter, but rather the horrific and horrible details and experiences that comes along with having to fight for your life after being kidnapped and held hostage. To give you an idea, 21 years ago, in the year 2000, the married couple Cully and Monique Stradom became two of the 21 survivors that were kidnapped and held hostage by Abu Sayyaf, an Islamic terrorist group on the island of Jolo. Actually, it's spelled J-O-L-O, but it's pronounced completely different, Jolo, in the Philippines. During their 4 months of captivity, 127 days to be exact, they experienced what most of us wouldn't even dare to describe as our worst nightmares. Now I know, when would we expect a murder? Since, I mean, this is true crime after all. But I felt like that, well, that is, this case is a crime. It's criminal. And when I first learned about it, it just sucked me completely in. And I am so excited to share this with you guys. So, with that said, let me start you off with a little glimpse of what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
pastel rays of the morning sun colored the white sky. From deep blue to magnificent orange, the man at the stern of the wooden longboat drew a string of tortoiseshell prayer beads from his pocket. His lips moved silently as he rhythmically guided each smooth pebble through his thumb and index finger. He was a young man, about 25 years of age, with an open round face and a noticeably acne-prone skin. Pimples, people, pimples. His jet black hair was pulled back into a tight ponytail. The camouflage pants, heavy combat boots, and a black t-shirt with the word Army printed in white across the chest seemed strangely at odds with his delicate frame and movements that were childlike, you know, almost feminine. The South African scullion Monique Strydom crouched in an awkward space facing the man who was perched about a meter away on a wooden bench in front of the boat's small outboard motor. In the confusion of the previous evening, they had been separated from the rest of the passengers, who were now all huddled at the fishing boat's narrow bow. The man in front of them stared sincerely out at the ocean ahead. Monique watched him closely. This stranger who had so violently burst into their lives the night before. Reflected in the pair of expensive woman sunglasses that shielded his eyes from the morning glare, Monique could just make out the contours of what appeared to be an island. For a moment, almost as if he had sensed her gaze, the man stopped praying and angled his head towards her. Salaam alaikum, Monique said in a broken Arabic, recalling the traditional Muslim greeting she had been taught in Malawi. It had clearly taken him by surprise. The man turned to a smaller soldier, which with a patchy mustache. These people, no dress sense, no look sense, no? Who sat near the motor and said something before continuing his silent ritual. For Kali and Monique, morning had brought with a strange sense of comfort. As the gentle bathed the surroundings, they could at least look out over the drums of fuel that separated them from the rest of the passengers. Monique recognized a few of the faces of the people who had been only black instinct shadows during the night. She also had a clearer view of the rest of the men on board. They were a ragtag army, scuffily dressed in combat fatigues and a variety of t-shirts and vests. Some had covered their faces with black balaclavas, others wore bandanas and dark glasses. To Monique, they all looked strange, even evil. A few stood guard over the group of captives, some of whom had towels and what appeared to be gorgeous sheets wrapped around them. They looked lost and wretched. Monique thought to herself as she surveyed the strange scene, realizing that she and Kali must look the same. The smaller soldier who sat near the engine that had roared so angrily the night before began to nod off with his M16 assault rifle, resting against his right knee. Another man maneuvered the long, thin boat. Everyone on the craft was heavily armed. There were automatic machine guns, M79, rocket launchers, 9mm pistols, knives, and rounds of ammunition lay strewn like macabre garlands on the wet deck. The scene that confronted them as the sun came up that morning was light years away from how it had been only a day before. To Kali and Monique, it felt so unreal. Who were these people? Police? The army? Bandits or notorious pirates who have cruised the South China Seas for generations, looting ships, kidnapping people, and terrorizing those who dared to sail the treacherous waters? For now, nobody knew what was going on, except for the battalion of 10 angry men who spoke in an unfathomable high-pitched tongue. Now, that's it, you guys have an idea what to expect. You're gonna get into this story. So, with that being said, let's get into it. Life just 2 days before this nightmare had been idyllic for the for Kylie and Monique Stradom. On the morning of Saturday, the 22nd of April, in the year 2000. You guys know that song? In the year 2000. Sorry, my bad. They had arrived at the Palau Sipanin Resort. I'm going to mispronounce a lot of names, probably. I've tried. I'm sorry just now. So, with the resort Palau Sipanin, we're going to put it in short, PSR. For short. On the tiny but magnificent tropical island of Sipadan, just off the northeastern coast of Borneo. And that falls in within the Malaysian province of Sabah. Sipadan is regarded as one of the best dive spots in the world, on par with Australia's Great Barrier Reef. And any diver with their wetsuit dreams of exploring its unique marine ecosystem. Turtles, 200 species of fish, and over 70 types of coral. Now, if I have any diver listeners, if you have gone diving once, or love it, do it a lot, please send me some information. I have no idea. I don't know much about it. I've never gone, obviously. I would love to. But yeah, please let me know, is it really, you know, what they say it is? And yeah. Only thing for me is some fishes freak me the hell out. They just, and then octopuses. I'm not gonna lie, they are ugh. But the rest, I can deal with it. I love stuff. For the married couple, Kylie and Monique Stradom, diving was a huge passion, and they wanted to get as much diving time from their vacation as they possibly could. I mean, not just that everyone wants to get as much. I can't remember when I was last on a vacation. Been years. But I mean, you want to take every moment, like barely sleep, everything, you know, don't miss a damn thing. So although exhausted from lack of sleep and 3-day plane, bus and boat journey via Kuala Lumpur, Kota Kinabalu and Semporna, the Stradoms almost immediately prepared for an orientation dive with one of the resort's young Malaysian dive masters, Keng Fong. Ken had heard about the two more difficult South Africans before they had been set foot on the island. Now imagine how bad of a Karen you must be. You're not even on the island yet and people are already like, oh, they're coming. I think that's how my fridge feels. A bookings glitch had forced them to overnight in Tau instead of heading directly to Sipadan. They were irritated at having to miss out on at least half a day's worth of diving, and insisted that special arrangements be made for a boat to leave earlier than usual the next morning. The PSR, because that's what we call them, the resort now, because it's easier. Public relations manager had contacted Ken ahead of their arrival and warned him about these pushy guests. Again, that's next level Karen. His initial reception had been cool, but once he realized Tradums were only keen to dive, he succumbed to their charm. The entry in Kali's log after that first dive reads, and this is now from my quote, the entry. It was made on the 22nd of the 4th, 2000. Sipadan Island shore entry. Orientation dive, two white tips buddy up to us. Is it fish? Is it shark? What is those things? Two white buddy tips up. Let me know, please. No, not afraid of us at all. Wall starts 15 meters offshore. Swam alongside it up to Turtle Cave, in brackets forbidden. Saw many new species. Bluefin, trevally playing Grand Prix, chasing after a fish with small blue stripes. Great feeling to be here. And that's the end of his entry. Now, sorry, there's a plan. I don't know how to cut out in between that and the chickens. It's a nightmare. I don't know. That's his entry. Again, if I've got diving people listening, anyone that knows, well, anyone knows more than me, please let me know what's going on. Because out of his entry, I still want to know what's white tips buddy up. What is this? And I understand the 15 meters, you know, offshore. And he swam along. He went to the turtle cave, which is forbidden. I get that. New species. A bluefin fish. And he likes being there. That's about that. I need help. Kylie and Monique did
Two more dives that day, exploring the mid-reef and the majestic Hanging Gardens. In between, they chatted briefly with fellow divers, relaxing on the resort's wooden sun deck that stretched all the way out to the bleach white beach. They connected with an American couple who introduced themselves as Abraham and Christine. Later, they noticed a beautiful woman in a bikini sitting alone, reading a book at a table nearby. How odd is that? I know it nowadays. If you'd be seeing a person beginning, like, laying there, what's going on? But I'm in 2000. It's not that odd to notice. But anyway, they noticed it. It's their thing. Also on the Sunday were a German family, an older man and his wife and son. They had kept mostly to themselves and seemed to be in the element on the island. I mean, wouldn't be, it's a vacation. The only people not happy is the people working there. Earlier that day, Kali and Monique had noticed what appeared to be a Malaysian police patrol boat floating about 80 meters offshore. From where they sat, they could clearly see the men on board scanning the island with binoculars. Curiously, Monique asked one of the resort's managers, Aida Dablo, what she made of this craft's sudden appearance. "They're looking for illegal immigrants," Aida replied, matter-of-factly. Just like that. Just been looking for illegal immigrants, okay? Like, do your resorty thing. So they went back to the resort, to their room, you know, chilled, relaxed. What vacation people do before doing one last night dive before the next day. The next day, Easter Sunday, a new group of divers arrived on the island. At first, Kali and Monique thought the tall man wearing a t-shirt with Brazil across the front might be a fellow South African. But it turned out to be Stéphane Louisi, a Frenchman who was visiting the island with his girlfriend Sonia Wendling. Sorry, but what? How do you... Oh, there's a guy with a shirt that says Brazil. Must be South African. What kind of... What? Okay, anyway. I mean... Two other middle-aged men also arrived almost immediately and they disappeared into the depths of the ocean. You sure ain't like, not more South Africans? You know? That morning, the Stray Doms did two dives with the dive master, Vincent Wong, exploring the magnificent coral gardens and another known area known as South Point. During the second dive, the German woman they had seen earlier swam towards Kali, who was happily exploring the coral. He was a little surprised when she tapped his shoulder and indicated that he had gone down too deep. She either mistook him for her son, thought Kali, or was just concerned. Kali looked at her like, what, you know? What kind? She basically just stared at him for a while before turning around and swimming off, probably realizing, oh shit, it's the Karen family. So, yeah. 4 days before the additional 3 day that they, like, 4 days, four dives the day before. My bad, me in words, me in English. It's because I'm mocking. It's because I shouldn't. The four dives the day before and the additional 3 that day had tired the Stray Doms. Can one sentence be so hard? Damn it. Although diving may appear effortless, it is a sport that requires agility and stamina to swim with or against the currents. Also, the atmospheric pressure changes are physically taxing. Now, let's just tell you guys. Like I said, never went diving, but don't need to tell me. I'm a doggy paddle person. I can only imagine. And I'm so unfit. Monique began to develop an earache from all the diving, and she and Kali agreed to take it easy and spend late afternoon relaxing, reading and eating, you know. The communal deck that ran off from the kitchen and the restaurant was the perfect vantage point. Guests could lounge on the deck chairs and absorb the sun or socialize comfortably around the tables set further back under the cover of a partially wooden roof. Monique and Christine connected again that afternoon. They discovered that they both planned to explore the jungles of Borneo after Sapardin, and Monique passed on some tips. They swapped travel guides, and Monique was stunned to read for the first time about the vicious pirates who cruised the sea in the region. She showed the alarming section to Kali, but they both agreed that they were probably safe on the island. After all, the Malaysians seemed to be patrolling the tiny 30-acre jewel. Around 7 p.m., Christine and Abram left to prepare for their night dive. The Stradoms considered joining, but then decided against it, as they had each had a cocktail and knew it was unacceptable to drink and dive. I mean, I know about drinking and driving. Drinking and diving. Okay. The rest of the guests, including German family, the French couple, another American couple, and two other men who had arrived that day, were dotted around the dinner tables on the deck. Everyone was dressed casually in beach wear. I mean, who dresses up at the beach for a vacation? You should see me at the beach. It's just flip-flops and, ooh, I look a mess, but I guess. Monique wore a sundress and Kali was dressed in t-shirt and shorts. The Stradoms had packed lightly, carrying only one backpack and their diving equipment. Shoes were not permitted on the deck, so everyone was barefoot. Now that's my style. The camera rested on the two novels along with their sunglasses on the table nearby. When the resort dive master Ken and Vincent strolled over and joined them at the table. Later, another dive master, Danny Double K Chin, arrived carrying a beer. A beer? What about like a bunch of them? It was decidedly mellow evening, you know, chilling or not. The divers and the resort staff were all very tired and the mood was quite quiet and restful. So much so that the familiar clatter of Christine and Abram strolling down the beach for their night dive was mildly disturbing. How dare these people? Moaning about someone enjoying their vacation. But as the couple slipped into the water, silence settled once again. Everyone seemed transfixed by the glow of their torches that lit up the sea. Seconds later, a jarring and loud noise crashed through the hot night. No one on the deck was quite sure what was happening. It sounded as if an argument had broken out somewhere at the back of the complex. The angry, fast-talking voices drifted closer, and as Kali and Monique turned towards the sound, that's when they saw him.
Well, that is the first part of this series. I'm going to try and it's going to be a lot of episodes, so I don't know. I mean, what to give you? Maybe 6, 7. I don't know. I want to keep them each episode short because from my stats, I see people don't like the long ones. If you do, or if there's certain, I don't know. How long do you guys like it or want it? Let me know on Instagram at truecrime.bones. If you listened to this, made it this far, thank you. You are legendary. I couldn't have done it without you listeners, without you guys. And I appreciate it. And I hope you guys enjoy it. Thank you for listening. You know, crime never sleeps in South Africa. So stay safe and ta-da!